Yeah.
Good evening, everybody.
It is good to be with you and to have this opportunity of fellowship together and to enjoy the Lord's presence and each other's company. Thank you for being here. Thank you for giving me the privilege to be here too. Alan was giving you a bit of the bio this afternoon, and just one or two details you might be interested in. My wife and I have just recently celebrated our 50th wedding anniversary, and thank you. We are praising the Lord for His wonderful goodness. We have two sons, now middle-aged men, and the older one is married. He's in Vancouver and has 8 children. Yes, that's what everybody says. And the younger one is in the Toronto area, in Oakville, Ontario, and he has 2 children. So we're blessed with grandkids, and we're thankful to the Lord for them as well. I was just sitting in my room tonight and I realized later it was somebody pulling a suitcase with wheels on it, you know, on the landing. I thought for a minute it was one of you guys on your skateboard, you know. what it sounded like. But anyway, and before we read the Word of God, I've got a thing I want to read to you. You know, I'm not, when it comes to the talent night, I'm not much good at stand-up comedian stuff or anything like that. But I've got something I want to read to you tonight that I think you'll enjoy. Just to kind of break the ice and get used to each other, you know. But it's about an older lady, and she gets pulled over for speeding. And the older lady says to the officer, "Is there a problem, officer?" The officer says, "Ma'am, you were speeding." Older woman, "Oh, I see, officer." He says, "Can I see your license, please?" Older woman, "I'd give it to you, but I don't have one." You don't have one? Woman says, "I lost it 4 years ago for drunk driving." "I see," says the officer. "Can I see your vehicle registration papers, please?" She says, I can't do that." "Why not?" "I stole this car." "You stole it?" "Yes. And I killed and hacked up the owner." "You what?" "His body parts are in plastic bags in the trunk if you want to see." The officer looks at this woman and slowly backs away to his car and calls for backup. Within 5 minutes, police cars are all over the place. A senior officer slowly approaches the car, clasping his half-drawn gun. "Ma'am, could you step out of your vehicle, please?" The woman steps out of her vehicle. "Is there a problem, sir?" "One of my officers told me that you've stolen this car and murdered the owner." "Murdered the owner, officer?" "Yes. Could you please open the trunk of your car?" The woman opens the trunk, revealing nothing but an empty trunk. "Is this your car, ma'am?" "Yes. Here are the registration papers." The officer is quite stunned. "One of my officers claims that you do not have a driving license." The woman digs into her handbag and pulls out a clutch purse and hands it to the officer. And the officer examines the license and looks quite puzzled. "Thank you, ma'am. One of my officers told me you didn't have a license, that you stole this car, and then you murdered and hacked up the owner." The woman says, "Bet the liar told you I was speeding too." Yeah, I kind of thought you would enjoy that. Anyway, let's come to the Word of God, shall we? That's what we're really here for tonight. And I want to read with you some verses from Paul's letter to Romans in chapter 6. You're probably aware that we're dealing with the subject at this time together, making a difference no matter what. And the 4 sessions we're going to have, number 1 about being correctly positioned, then by being purposeful, then by being focused on the prospect ahead, and then being intensely practical. That's what we want to look at over these 4 sessions together. So tonight we're going to read from Romans chapter 6, and we're talking tonight about being correctly positioned. And let's read the first 14 verses of the chapter. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. May God really speak to us from these amazing verses of his word tonight. Let's pray briefly. Father, we're in your presence tonight. We delight to be together before you. And we need you, Father. We are dealing with tremendous truths in your word. And we humbly come, Father, to pray for the gracious ministry of the Holy Spirit to open our minds and hearts that we might see these wonderful things like we've never seen them before. Bless your word to us, Father, we pray, for the glory of your great and wonderful name. Amen. Now, when we talk about being correctly positioned tonight, the thought that's in my mind, and I want to focus in on the down there at verses 10 and 11, the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. That's the position that I want us to think about tonight. Alive to God in Christ Jesus. What an incredible place to be. I'll never forget a number of years ago, I was going through a particular time of temptation. I won't bore you with the details. Well, there was tremendous temptation going on. And I remember I was in a hotel room far away from here. And it was suffering from jet lag. It was 3 o'clock in the morning and I couldn't sleep. And in the midst of all that was going on, I got out of bed, I got down on my knees and I opened my Bible. And this is the scripture the Lord gave me. Right there at 3 o'clock in the morning. The scripture that the Lord gave me. And was write this, for the death that he died to sin once for all. The life he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. And these are the words that really got a hold of me. Alive to God in Christ Jesus. What a tremendous thing that is. The fact that we are so born again of the Holy Spirit. And you know, folks, you can all think back, I'm sure, all of us think back to times of problems and difficulties and failure and mistakes, etc., etc. And you know and I know that the devil loves to keep beating you over the head with all the stuff that you've done in the past. And some of us have a great deal of difficulty letting go, especially in the area when your kids grow up and they don't do the things that you would like them to be doing. If they're not walking with the Lord, etc., etc., or things go wrong in their lives, and then you start blaming yourself, and you think, if I'd only done this, if I'd only done that, and we go on and on and on, and we never get away from it all. Brothers and sisters, tonight, I want to tell you for this. We've got to learn, we've got to come again to that place of understanding exactly what is ours in Christ Jesus. Amen? We really need to come to appreciate this in a new and fresh way, that we might be liberated and set free from all those things that bring us into bondage and that can be a tremendous burden hanging over us all the time. The late Dr. Alexander White who said, and we're all, as we talk about being older folks here tonight, and we're talking about, we all know what the meaning of the word perseverance, and we're keeping going, and praise God, we're sitting here today, all of us, by the grace of God and nothing else. Amen? That's where we're all here, by the grace of God. And Dr. White says, the perseverance of the saints is made up of new beginnings. The perseverance of the saints is made up of new beginnings. Everything that happens in your life in the past is a new beginning as far as God is concerned. Amen? I love the verse, in a very interesting little verse in the book of Numbers, chapter 33 and verse 2. And it says this, that Moses recorded the journeys of the children of Israel according to their starting places. He didn't record their journeys according to the places where they stopped, but according to their starting places. Every place, sometimes they were on a high, sometimes they were in a time of failure, but every one of them was a starting place. Amen? Are you with me, folks? This is very important, you know, because when I look back to think of times of failure in my life, think of times when I've grieved the Lord, think of times that, and I thank God tonight that God broke me over these things, and God really dealt with me in a deep way, and it ended up, instead of being a time of failure, it ended up to be a starting place. It ended up to be a starting place. And none of it is wasted with God. Amen. I love that. I just love that. And incidentally, we're singing that wonderful old song tonight, Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. And we've changed the words from where I used to sing it as a kid in Scotland. We start by saying, melt me. We used to sing, break me. Break me, then melt me. Mold me and fill me. And sometimes, dear folks, God has to deal with us over things. Maybe even at this time in our lives, as we get older, God needs to deal with us and break us over issues so that we will experience what it means to be filled with the Spirit of God and really be alive to God in Christ Jesus. I tell you, dear friends, once we get a hold of that incredible truth, it is so thrilling, it is so exciting, we will never look back. Amen? We'll see it's a starting place with God. We're moving on with Him. Praise the Lord. Thank you. So let's look at this in a bit more detail. First of all, we want to look at the fact we're alive. We're alive. We're alive to God. And that what we need to remind ourselves, pardon me if this sounds a bit simplistic tonight, but it's not meant to be. We remind ourselves when we talk about being alive to God, it's eternal life we're talking about. It's not just cheering ourselves up. It's eternal life. We are the possessors, if we know Jesus, of the very life of God. Somebody pointed out the fact that the scripture says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It doesn't say the gift from God. It says the gift of God. And when God came into your life in the person of Christ, He gave you everything that He is. Amen? He gave you everything that He is, and He is living in you right now by His Spirit. You are alive to God because you are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That is our position in Christ, and it is eternal life that we're talking about. It is a wonderfully secure position, because notice what we read in verse 8 of the chapter tonight. Now that if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. And He will never die. Death has no more claim over Him. And because you are alive to God in Christ Jesus, it has no more claim over you either. I was sitting here tonight, and when Ron was showing us these pictures before we went for supper, and all the folks up there, I'm thinking to myself, it's going to be a wonderful reunion in heaven one day. Amen. Amen. Lots of dear friends that were on these pictures are not with us now. But you know what, folks? We're alive to God. Amen? We are the possessors of eternal life. The very life of Almighty God is what is in you right now. Hallelujah. That life never ends. We're looking forward to to being with the Lord one day, rejoicing. And I just happen to believe in the imminence of the Lord's return, that He can come at any moment. Nothing is more challenging to holy living than believing that Jesus could come at any moment. And we need to come and appreciate all over again what God has given us in His wonderful Son. He will never die again, and neither will we. Death has no more claim on Him, has no more claim on us. Now folks, before I go any further, when you think about these things, and we think about us possessing the very life of God, if a person has been born again, well, let me give you a quote here from Oswald Chambers. Do you read Oswald Chambers? My Utmost for His Highest. My wife and I read it every day together. Somebody said, an Oswald a day keeps the devil away. I just love his writings, a dear man of God. But he said this: when someone is born again, that person knows that it is because they have received something as a gift from Almighty God, and not because of their own decision. When you've been born again, you know you've been born again because you know you've received something. You're living in the joy of it. It is real. You know you're alive to God in Christ Jesus. I was telling you a moment ago that we have 10 grandchildren, and my son and his wife and the eight, they're the ones who've got the eight, they were with us for 4 days last Christmas. My wife and I took a long time to get ready for Christmas time, and then we heard they've got a big 15-seater van. It's like a Sunday school outing every time they go somewhere. And the van turned into our driveway, and Phil was blaring on the horn, so we went to the door to welcome them, and the house was nice and peaceful, and everything was ready and all the rest of it. And we opened the door, and my wife said it was like a tsunami hitting the place. And in they came, all of them, just came flowing in, and it was wonderful. We had a wonderful time. But you know, at Christmas and Christmas morning, among other things, the kids all got new pajamas. They all got new pajamas. And all the younger ones in particular, 6 girls and 2 boys, all the younger ones just suddenly disappeared. And 10 minutes later, they all came back wearing their new pajamas. And they were all thrilled to bits through all the different patterns and stuff like that. And it seems to me that's what it's like, isn't it? They knew they had received something. They had put it on. They were enjoying it. They were living in the good of it, of this gift that they had received. And my dear brothers and sisters, can I just remind you of that tonight? You right now are indwelt by Almighty God. You are alive to God in Christ Jesus. That's why Paul says, put it on, amen? Yeah. Wear it, hallelujah. Let Him live His life in us and through us. And so when we think of all of that stuff then, and we move into the details of this, just to say to you that three things. If we're going to enjoy this, number one, I want you to notice that it is a matter of revelation. It's a matter of revelation. Verses 3 and 4 of our chapter, Paul says, "Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? Therefore we've been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that Christ, as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." Now notice what he says at the beginning there, knowing this. Knowing this. He's not talking about knowing it up here. He's talking about the Holy Spirit of God having revealed a thing to our hearts where it is so real that without a shadow of a doubt, we know that we are, we've been baptized into Christ Jesus, we've been baptized into His death. Knowing this, he goes on to say later that our old self was crucified with Him, and so on. Knowing this, it's a matter of revelation. I want to say to you, dear folks, tonight, we're looking forward to great fellowship together. But you know what? I'm praying with all my heart that God will meet with us over these next hours, and the Holy Spirit of God will reveal some of these truths to us in a way that we've never seen them before. Because believe me, This is life-changing stuff. I'd been preaching the gospel for years before it dawned on me that I had really been crucified with Christ. Before it dawned on me that I was dead to sin. And you're sitting there right now, and if you're anything like me, and you're saying to yourself, well, when I look in my heart, it doesn't look too like as if I'm dead to sin. But that's because you're looking in the wrong place, guys. You're looking in all the wrong places. We look at the Word of God. Look what God says here. God says here, it's a fact. It's a fact. It's a fact. You are crucified with Christ. You are dead to sin. You are alive to God in Christ Jesus. That's how it is. That's how God sees you right now. Woo! That's how God sees you. As God looks upon your heart and mine, He doesn't see the old me anymore. Praise God for that. Oh, praise God for that. He sees me alive in Christ Jesus. The old self was put on the cross. And Jesus, who died on that cross, and He will never die again, and He rose from the dead, and we've been raised up with Him, and we're in Him tonight. Amen? We're in Him. We've got, and it's a truth that needs to be, it needs to be revealed to our hearts. Revealed to our hearts. When you think of that verse in verse 2, how shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? The only way I can think to illustrate this to you, and it, to me it's very, very powerful. But it's, remember Paul says in Galatians 6:14, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. I was preaching at a conference for pastors in Mexico recently, and just a few months ago. And standing in the corner of the room we were having the meetings, there was a cross. And I picked up this cross, and it turned out to be very powerful in the lives of some of those pastors who were there. And we took the cross, and I stood with the cross here, pointing this way. And we looked at Galatians 6:14. And I'm saying to these guys, I'm saying, now listen, look at it like this. This is what Paul's saying. This is what the Word of God is saying. You and I, one time we were on this side of the cross. We come to the cross of Christ and we see there that Christ died for our sins. He took our place. He was our substitute. And when we come and we receive Christ as Savior, we repent of our sin and we trust Him for ourselves, and we're made alive in Christ Jesus, we move to the other side of the cross. We move to the other side. The old life is gone. Now the world is crucified to us and we to the world. The world is finished with you and me, and we are finished with the world. Amen? We need to get that into our minds, people. The cross separates. The cross is a line of separation. And when we come to the cross, we move on to newness of life. We're dead to the old life. We're alive to the new life. And dear folks, tonight, the crux of the whole matter, and when we think of what Paul talking about baptism here, you know, he says, all those of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death. Can I say something to you in passing here? Many of you are elders in churches here. Can I say, think carefully about baptizing people who are too young. I'm sorry if I'm feeling negative here, but I've seen it happen so many times in recent times. Some young person goes into the waters of baptism, and everybody's rejoicing, and mum and dad are saying, hallelujah, isn't that lovely, little Johnny's being baptized. And then very shortly, little Johnny is up to here in sin. The devil's getting a big victory. Listen to me, people. When we think about baptism and think of the significance of it, we are saying before God, I've died to my old life. I've been to the cross. I'm crucified with Christ. The old life is gone. I'm leaving it behind. I'm now alive to God in Christ Jesus. And I want to tell you people, you can never get to that place until God has dealt with you in a very deep way. Until God has got to the depths of the very core of your soul and rooted out of you everything that grieves the Holy Spirit. Till you and I have come to a place where we've repented of stuff. We're no longer going through the motions. We're no longer going to our church or assembly on a Sunday morning and carrying with us all kinds of baggage that nobody knows anything about. We've literally been to the cross and we've repented and we've been broken and we've left it behind and we're saying, Lord, I'm finished with it. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom the world is crucified to me and I to the world. And I'm now moving on to live in the glory of resurrection life. Amen? Amen. Alive to God in Christ Jesus. It is a revelation, my friends. It's a resurrection life. It's resurrection life. Alive from the dead. That's why Paul talks about baptism and he talks about newness of life. Newness of life. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, if anyone is in Christ, that person is a new creature. The old has gone, the new has come. A complete miracle. Somebody sent me a few weeks ago, a thing on the computer, and it was all about a guy who was demonstrating what he called the gospel with chairs. And he was talking about this gospel of chairs and he was saying things about it and how it was what he called a very ancient gospel, and it was the patristic gospel and it was the therapeutic gospel. Listen to me, people. The gospel is not therapeutic. The gospel is transformational. God is not in the least bit interested in improving your old self. All he's interested in is getting rid of it completely. That it's put in the place of death and left there. Be alive to God. Hallelujah. Alive to God. And my dear friends, tonight we rejoice that the gospel that we proclaim is transformational. I have the privilege, as you know, of teaching in the Cape and Ray Bible Schools and death. It's such a joy, and I've just been there recently and going again in next month for the holiday Bible week. But in the Bible school year, there's 100 students there. And some of them are from Christian homes and you just wonder why they're there, you know what I mean? But there's a guy we met, one student who was there this past session, and he was the son of a pastor. He was from the US, son of a pastor. And this guy had got away from God big time. He was into the drug scene. He was into all kinds of garbage and so on, and broke his father's heart. And then, praise God, the Lord got a hold of him. The Lord got a hold of him and changed his whole life. And there was this guy. There was a student at Bible college. He's a young man in his late 20s, I would judge. And I had just a passion for the Word of God, a longing to know and to go on with God. And obviously somebody who had been completely transformed. Amen. He hadn't gone through classes and counseling and been, hadn't gone through therapeutic lessons. He had come to the cross. He had repented of his old life. He had been broken over his sin. He had renounced his sin and he had surrendered everything to Christ. And it was obvious. Hallelujah. The guy was just full of new life. New life and a great hunger to know God. And my dear friends, tonight I believe God wants to get us there. You know, it's very big danger when you get older. The big danger of getting older. Some of you guys could be my parents still. But I'm 73 nearly. And, you know, I've had a triple bypass and I've got an artificial hip, and so I'm not the man I used to be. And you know, when you go getting a bit older, all kinds of things going through your mind. But I know this: God's not finished with you yet. Amen. not by a long way. God's not finished with you yet. And God wants to keep on doing new things. He wants to keep on doing new things. He wants to reveal to you again and again and again, you are my brother, my sister, you're alive to God in Christ Jesus. No matter what's happened in the past, if you know Christ, you've been to the cross, that is your position right now, alive to God. I can't imagine anywhere I'd rather be. Amen? I can't imagine anywhere I'd rather be. It's so thrilling to know the Lord. But not only is it resurrection life, and that's the quality of life that we have, and God reveals this truth to us, but it also gives us not only resurrection, but direction. Direction. He says, not only am I alive, but I'm alive to God. I'm alive to God. And that says a couple of things to me. Look at verse 6. He says, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is freed from sin. That says to me, number one, my life has been given a new direction, so I have the freedom to change. I have the freedom to change. Paul says, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Christ. It's an accomplished fact, you see. It's an accomplished fact. You didn't do it. I didn't do it. It's as you've heard it all before, it's an impossibility to crucify yourself. You can't do it. It's impossible. Somebody else has got to do it. And who did it? Who did it? God did it. God did it. When Jesus died on the cross, my old self, your old self, was crucified with Christ. Knowing this, it's an accomplished fact, my friends. An accomplished fact. And that means as that's revealed to our hearts, then we can hear the word of Paul, as he says in Ephesians 4, he talks about laying aside the old self. We're going to talk about that a bit, maybe another session, and putting on the new self. You are free to change. We are free to change. We move on from here. This is the first day of the rest of your life, so to speak. We have a choice in the matter. Amen? We have a choice in the matter. This is the glorious thing about it. You don't need to be bogged down with your past. You don't need to be bogged down with sin and failure. You don't need to be bogged down with discouragement. It doesn't need to happen. You are alive to God in Christ Jesus, and you choose to live a life of freedom in Him. Yes. Hallelujah. He says in verse number 7, for he who has died is freed from sin. He who has died is freed from sin. Some of us were talking over the meal table tonight and about ministry among men. And some of the things that men carry around with them. It's a wonderful thing to be able to share with one another. Brothers, sisters, tonight, he who has died is freed from sin. The devil doesn't want you to believe that. And some of the big problem is we don't believe it either. That's the problem. We refuse to take God at his word. God's saying to you right now, I don't care where you're at spiritually, if you really are born again, this is the truth. This is the truth. He who has died is freed from sin. Is freed from sin. Therefore, when you're coming to discouragement, or the devil's causing you to question all of that stuff, to say, hallelujah, I am free, I choose to be free. Amen? I choose to be free. Lord Jesus, live through me. That's what it means, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ living his resurrection life through me. I'm free to change. Paul says in verses 8 and 9, we have the faith to change. Now, if we've died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. Do you believe it tonight? Brothers and sisters, I want to ask, this is a serious question I'm asking you. We sometimes ask this question when we're preaching the gospel, encouraging people to believe. I want to challenge Christians tonight. Do you really believe this? Do I really believe this? Am I really taking God at his word? Am I really taking God at his word and standing on the word of God? You know what, dear people? I've just read an amazing book. It's a book that stretched my mind. And it's a book written many years ago by B.B. Warfield. It's called The Inspiration and the Authority of the Bible. It's quite a scholarly thing. But I was thrilled to bits to see how he very strongly advocated the inerrancy of the Word of God. Listen to me, men and women. We need to get back to standing on the Word of God. Amen. Every word of it is God-breathed. God did not breathe into it. He breathed it out. Every word of it is from God. From Genesis to Revelation. And we need to learn to stand upon it. And hallelujah, I want to tell you, your life will take a whole new direction when you say, Lord. I maybe don't like Billy Graham when he was a young evangelist. Tells the story in his autobiography. Out in the woods, and he laid his Bible on a trunk of a tree. He said, God, I don't understand it all. I've got questions. But tonight, I make up my mind. I'm going to stand on your word from Genesis to Revelation. That's when his ministry took off. Just after that, there was the great Los Angeles crusade. Oh, people, listen to me. This is the most important thing in your life and mine as a Christian. Do I or do I not believe God? Believe what he says. And God is saying to you and me tonight these amazing, amazing words. We believe we shall also live with him. Hallelujah. Alive to God in Christ Jesus. Paul says to the Colossian Christians, as you received Christ Jesus, so walk ye in him. I've seen over the years, it's been my privilege as an evangelist to see people coming to know Christ, and we give God all the praise. I think of people tonight who've met the Lord and their lives have never been the same again. I'm also thinking tonight of a dear friend of mine. He attends a Bible study that I lead. And he read the second of the two books I had the privilege of writing. It was called So Why Do I Need a Church? And Gary wrote to me afterwards. He says, through your book, he says, the Lord has been encouraging me to be totally committed to how he wants to use me. Amen. Do you know what, people? I don't think I'm ever, and I hope I never will, but I don't think I'm ever going to get over this. The fact that we believe God and we're available to him, and no matter what time of our lives we're at, God will use you. Amen. God will use you. He'll take your life and he'll fill you with himself, and you will carry with you the fragrance of the knowledge of Christ wherever you go, and people will be blessed. You can't help it. Amen. Oh, that's great. You just can't help it. It's going to happen. You don't even know it's happening half the time. And it's a good job, isn't it? It's a good job. We don't know half the time how the Lord's using us. But he is. But the last thing I want to say to you tonight, there's resurrection, there's direction, but there's also a transaction. And as we pull this together, I believe God wants us as believers. Some of us have been believers many, many, many years. But to come to this place again, Lord, I recommit myself to you. Lord, I'm deciding tonight I'm going to believe God. I'm going to take up my position in Christ as never before. I'm alive to God. And we're affirming the tremendous work of Christ. It says we're alive to God in Christ Jesus. His work was complete and perfect at the cross, as you know. But we need to appropriate that. We need to appropriate it for ourselves as believers. Paul says to the Colossians, if you've died with Christ, then live with him. Amen. Live in that resurrection life.